40. Got a sprain or an itch. Pain, rash, swelling, or twitch. Call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky. Call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky.
Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Cancer is a scary word. Having cancer can be even scarier. In its simplest explanation, cancer starts when cells start to grow out of control. Cells in virtually any part of the body can become cancer cells and can then spread to other parts of the body. But today, Carmen and I wish to talk about a particular type of cancer, a blood cancer. Now, I know that many people have heard of leukemia, but many do not know that it is a form of cancer. They do not often realize this because most of us, when we hear the term cancer, think only of tumors that invade tissues, like lung cancer, cancer of the brain, and skin cancer. But leukemia is indeed a cancer, and it comes in several forms. And these can first of all be divided into two groups.
They can be called acute when the disease develops quickly, and the other being chronic when the disease develops more slowly over time.
We can further subdivide the groups into which type of blood cells that are affected. In acute leukemia, the abnormal blood cells are blasts. These are cells that remain very immature and cannot carry out their normal functions. With an increase in the number of blasts, the disease quickly worsens.
In chronic leukemia cases, some blast cells are present, but in general, these cells are more mature and can actually still carry out some of their normal functions.
Also, the number of blasts increases less rapidly than in acute leukemia, so chronic leukemia gets worse gradually. White blood cells are not just one type of cell, and leukemia can arise in either of the two main types of white blood cells, called the lymphoid and myeloid.
When leukemia involves the lymphoid tissue and it is fast developing, it is called acute lymphocytic leukemia. Of course, if the acute type involves the myeloid cells, then it is called acute myeloid leukemia.
The chronic forms are also divided into the two types, lymphoid and myeloid leukemias. Now, briefly, we have acute lymphocytic leukemia, which is the most common type of leukemia in young children, although it does affect adults, mainly those 65 years of age and older. Acute myeloid leukemia occurs in both adults and children. And chronic myeloid leukemia occurs mainly in adults.
Now we get to chronic lymphocytic leukemia, which most often affects adults over the age of 55. It almost never affects children. In fact, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL for short, is the most common leukemia in adults.
The cancer or leukemia cells start in the bone marrow, but then they travel into the blood. Because it's a chronic, slower-growing cancer, the leukemia cells often build up slowly, and many people don't actually have any symptoms for at least a few years. But over time, the cells grow and spread to other parts of the body, including the lymph nodes, the liver, and the spleen.
When one of these white blood cells changes and becomes a leukemia cell, it no longer matures normally, and it grows out of control.
Because the leukemia cells don't die when they should, they can build up in the bone marrow, crowding out the normal cells. It's at this point, possibly, that the leukemia cells leave the bone marrow and spill into the bloodstream. If you took a blood count of white blood cells at this point, you just might see the increase of these cells in the blood.
Now these leukemia cells are free to travel through the bloodstream to other organs in the body, and this can cause these other organs to function abnormally.
Think of water that gets into your gas tank. Micro droplets can travel with the gasoline through the hoses and damage all the other parts of the car, such as the carburetor and the engine. It's important to understand that cancers that start elsewhere and then spread to the bone marrow are not considered leukemia. It's only a leukemia of the cells if they originate in the marrow.
You may be asking, why is it so important to know the type of leukemia that a person has? Well, the physicians need to determine this so that they can better predict each patient's outlook and select the best treatment.
One of the main problems, apart from the crowding out of normal cells, is that the leukemia cells generally don't fight infection as well as normal white blood cells do. Since the leukemia cells survive longer than normal cells, they build up and begin crowding out the normal cells in the bone marrow. This can take a long time, and many patients can live with them for many years.
The lymphocytic leukemia starts, of course, in the cell that become lymphocytes. You may have heard of lymphomas, and this can also start in lymphocytic white blood cells.
The main difference between lymphocytic leukemias and lymphoma is that in leukemia, the cancer cells are mainly in the bone marrow and the blood, while in lymphoma, they tend to be in lymph nodes and other tissues. There also seems to be two different kinds of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. One kind of CLL grows very slowly, and the other doesn't. That's the more serious kind.
There are tests to determine which type of CLL a patient has. The tests look for proteins called SAP70 and CD38.
If the CLL cells have low amounts of these proteins, the leukemia tends to grow more slowly, and thus the patients have better long-term outcomes.
The common form of CLL starts in B lymphocytes.
But there are some rare types of leukemia that share some features with CLL. In one type, called pro-lymphocytic leukemia, the cancer cells are a lot like normal cells called pro-lymphocytes, which are immature forms of B and T lymphocytes.
Both B and T PLL tend to grow and spread faster than the usual type of CLL. Most people with it will respond to some form of treatment, but over time they tend to relapse.
And unfortunately, PLL may develop in someone who already has CLL, and this form tends to be more aggressive. Large granular lymphocytes is a rare and more aggressive form of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Here, drugs that suppress the immune system may help, but the aggressive types are very hard to treat. Well, now that you have a basic idea about leukemia and CLL in particular, we will need to address the risk factors of this disease.
In other words, what affects a person's chance of getting a disease like cancer? Different cancers have different risk factors. Some risk factors, like smoking, can be changed. Others, like a person's age or family history, can't be changed.
Remember, though, that risk factors don't tell us everything. Having a risk factor, or even many risk factors, doesn't mean that you'll get the disease. And some people who get the disease may not have had any of the known risk factors. There are very few known risk factors for chronic lymphocytic leukemia, but these include age, exposure to certain chemicals, family history, gender, and race.
The risk of CLL does not seem to be linked to smoking, diet, or infections. The risk of CLL goes up as you get older. About 9 out of 10 people with CLL are over age 50.
We mentioned certain chemical exposures. One of these is Agent Orange. You know, the herbicide used during the Vietnam War. Some other studies have suggested that farming and long-term exposure to certain pesticides could be linked to an increased risk of CLL, but there's no solid evidence of this yet. However, radon exposure at home has been linked to an increased risk. People with parents, siblings, or children with CLL have more than twice the risk for this cancer.
Interestingly, CLL is more common in North America and Europe than in Asia. And Asian people who live in the United States do not have a higher risk than those living in Asia.
This is why experts think the differences in risk are related to genetics rather than environmental factors. You know, normal human cells grow and function based on information in each cell's chromosomes. These are the long molecules of DNA that carry our genes, which gives the instructions for how each of our cells works.
Each time a cell prepares to divide into two new cells, it must make a new copy of the DNA in its chromosomes. This process is not perfect, and errors can occur that may affect genes within the DNA.
Some genes contain instructions for controlling when our cells grow and divide. We have long looked at this to determine if we can increase human life expectancy and longevity. Certain cells that promote cell growth and division are called oncogenes.
Genes that slow down cell division or cause cells to die at the right time are called tumor suppressor genes. Cancer can be caused by DNA mutations or changes that turn on oncogenes or turn off tumor suppressor genes.
You might remember from high school biology that each human cell contains 23 pairs of chromosomes. In most cases of CLL, a change can be found in at least one of these chromosomes. Most often, this change is a loss of part of a chromosome, scientifically called a deletion. The most common deletion is on chromosome number 13, but other chromosomes such as 11 and 17 can also be affected. And sometimes there's an extra chromosome 12. Sometimes this is called trisomy 12. It's just not yet clear which genes are involved or even how they can lead to leukemia.
Remember that we mentioned B lymphocytes previously? We do know that normal B lymphocytes are part of the immune system. They are programmed to grow and divide when they come into contact with a foreign substance called an antigen.
Germs contain something that we call foreign antigens. But so do blood cells from someone else with a different blood type. Researchers believe that a CLL begins when B lymphocytes continue to divide without restraint after they have reacted to an antigen. But why this happens, that's just not known yet.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 33 years.
We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Please call us at 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc. Our topic for today's show has been chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And now we're going to continue talking about mutations of the DNA that may have some relationship to this disease.
Some people inherit DNA mutations from a parent that greatly increase their risk of getting certain types of cancer, but inherited mutations rarely cause CLL.
This means that DNA changes related to CLL usually occur during the person's lifetime rather than having come passed on from a patient's parent. The next thing that we need to tackle is, how is CLL diagnosed?
Certain signs and symptoms might suggest that a person has chronic lymphocytic leukemia, but tests are needed to be sure. Obviously, A complete medical history and physical exam is necessary.
The physical exam will be done to look for possible signs of leukemia and other health problems. During the exam, your physician will pay close attention to your lymph nodes, abdomen, and other areas that just might be affected. And your doctor will also order blood tests to check your blood cell counts. If the results suggest leukemia, you could be referred to a hematologist. You know, that's the doctor that specializes in treating blood disorders, and that includes the leukemias.
Tests will need to be done on your blood and bone marrow as well to be certain of a leukemia diagnosis. Other tissue and cell samples may also be needed to help guide treatment.
The complete blood count, or CBC, measures the different cells in your blood, such as the red blood cells, the white blood cells, and the platelets. Another test done along with the CBC is the differential count, sometimes called the DIF, which looks at the numbers of the different types of white blood cells. People with CLL have too many lymphocytes, and that's called lymphocytosis.
Having more than 10,000 lymphocytes per cubic millimeter of blood strongly suggests CLL, but other tests are needed to know for sure.
There might also be low levels of red blood cells and platelets. A sample of blood is looked at under the microscope, and that's called a peripheral blood smear. If you have CLL, the blood smear could show many abnormal-looking lymphocytes, and these are often called smudge cells.
One test that is really important in diagnosing CLL is called flow cytometry. This test can be used to see if the lymphocytes in a sample of blood contain CLL cells.
And flow cytometry can also be used to look for CLL cells in bone marrow and even other fluids. Flow cytometry can be used to test for substances called ZAP70 and CD38 on the CLL cells. Some studies have suggested that people who have few CLL with these substances seem to have a better outlook.
Other tests can help find liver or kidney problems caused by the spread of leukemia cells or certain chemotherapy drugs.
These tests also can check the level of certain minerals, so any imbalances can be treated. For example, if you're going to be treated with the drug rituximab or Rituxan, your doctor might order blood tests to check for previous hepatitis infection.
Your blood immunoglobulin levels may be tested to check if you have enough antibodies to fight infections, especially if you have recently had many infections.
Another blood protein called beta-2 microglobulin may be measured because high levels of this particular protein generally mean a more advanced CLL. Because leukemia starts in the bone marrow, testing the bone marrow is vitally important. It can tell you how advanced the leukemia is.
So, the bone marrow tests are often done before starting treatment, and they might also be repeated during or after treatment to see if it treatment is working.
They use bone marrow aspiration and biopsy for testing, and they're usually done together. Now, you may be wondering, where are these bone marrow samples taken from? Well, most often they're taken from your hip bone. A bone marrow biopsy is usually done just after the aspiration, with what we call a small core of bone marrow being removed with a larger needle that's twisted as it's pushed down into the bone. You may also be wondering if this hurts. Well, even with the numbing medicine, this can cause a feeling of quite a bit of pressure or tugging. Again, doesn't usually hurt as much as you might think.
Of course, a pathologist looks at the bone marrow samples under a microscope. The doctors will look at the size, shape, and other traits of the white blood cells in the samples. This helps to classify them into specific types.
CLL cells usually look mature, while cells of acute leukemias, they look immature. Doctors also look to see how much of the normal cells in the bone marrow are replaced by the CLL cells. The pattern of spread of CLL cells in the bone marrow is important as well. A pattern where the cells are in small groups, which are called nodular or interstitial in pattern, often means a better outlook than if the cells are scattered throughout the marrow.
We mentioned genes at the start of the show. Well, in a cytogenetic test, the bone marrow cells, or sometimes cells from the blood or other tissues, are grown in the lab.
Then, their chromosomes are examined under a microscope. Because it takes time for the cells to start dividing, this test usually takes weeks to complete.
Normal human cells contain 23 pairs of chromosomes, but sometimes chronic lymphocytic leukemia cells have chromosome changes that can be seen under the microscope.
Remember the deletions that we talked about, particularly in chromosomes 13, 11, and 17? Well, it ends up that a deletion of part of chromosome 17 is linked to a poor outlook. This information could be helpful to determine the patient's prognosis.
The loss of part of chromosome 13 is usually linked with a slower growing disease and a better outlook, while defects in chromosomes 11 or 17 often indicate a poorer prognosis.
You know, there are several other tests, such as fluorescent in situ hybridization and tests called molecular tests. Immunoglobulins are the antibodies that help your body fight infection, and they're made up of light chains and heavy chains. Whether or not the gene for the immunoglobulin heavy chain variable region has mutated can also help your doctor know how aggressive the CLL is.
There is other testing that is often involved in the diagnosis and treatment of CLL, but it would take too much shows to even list and describe them. Instead, we are going to end this show with a brief idea of how it is treated.
Chemotherapy uses anti-cancer drugs that are taken by mouth or injected into a vein or muscle to kill or control the cancer cells. When given this way, these drugs enter the bloodstream and reach all parts of the body. So chemo is useful for cancers that tend to spread throughout the body, like chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
And doctors keep chemo in cycles, with each period of treatment followed by a rest period to allow the body time to recover.
Although chemo is seldom recommended for patients in poor health, age itself should not keep anyone from getting chemotherapy.
The major type of chemo drugs most commonly used to treat chronic lymphocytic leukemia include fludara, nipent, and leucostatin.
Fludarabine is often one of the first drugs used against CLL. It's often given with cyclophosphamide and rituximab. Other agents used in the treatment include alkylating agents such as Leucoran, Trenadan, and Cytoxan.
Corticosteroids such as prednisone, methylprednisolone, and dexamethasone can also be given.
Most of these medications have side effects, so the physician needs to tell the patient about these and may need to treat these side effects as well. We have tried to resume this for one show, but it's obviously too big a subject for just a half hour. So hopefully we'll be able to keep you listening next week when we finish talking about this particular leukemia, that is chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And as a punishment for listening to next week's show, we may end it by singing a Christmas song to all of you out there. We hope that you have had a very wonderful Thanksgiving.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana.
Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.